It is time for the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com, the JPEG Sports Network. I am your host, Eddie Greer, for the EG3 show. For those of you tuning in for the very first time or been catching us all season long, the EG3 show is all about the latest in NASCAR, to the latest and biggest news stories, to the race recaps in the Camping World Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, the three biggest divisions in all of motorsports. Today's show, everybody's in the playoffs now. Camping World and Xfinity begin their quest for a championship this weekend. Cup Series enter round number two. Round one was quite interesting as well. We'll get into that later on in today's podcast on KCSportsRadio.com. I'm going to start off with the Camping World Truck Series this afternoon as it wrapped up its regular season last week. Via the 8th spot was open for the taking, and Johnny Sauter made a statement of his own, winning the race last week in Chicago, the defending champion in the Camping World Truck Series, making a statement of his own, saying, "Don't forget about me." Obviously, we talked about a lot about this year, about Christopher Bell and his dominance throughout most of the regular season. And then you have kind of the silent child in Johnny Sauter there. That's a statement that they needed to make going into New Hampshire. And the Cup Series in the trucks will be racing at the Magic Mile this weekend, while the Xfinity Series takes flight to the Bluegrass State to open up their playoffs in Kentucky. But back to the Truck Series, Sauter making a big time statement there. Obviously, the points have reset, and what a tight battle this was all the way down to the final lap of this race. And my goodness, this thing ended in a tie between Ben Rhodes, who had the last spot going in, with 7 points to the good of Ryan Truex. They are both tied at the end of this race, and it came down to a tiebreaker. Most notably, the best driver who finished in the best finishing position, during one of the races this year would be a likely idea candidate to move on. And it was Pocono when these two drivers, the 27 truck and the 16, both finished in the top five at Pocono. How about just one race for all to go into the postseason? And it ended up being Ben Rhodes making another late rally after being outside the top 10 throughout majority of the night, while Ryan Truex sat on the pole and even won the first stage. I thought for sure it was going to be enough, but Ben Rhodes, the last 2 weeks, has made huge rallies to make the best finish possible. And even Ben said it in his post-race interview there. Obviously, they unloaded off throughout really the 2 days that the Truck Series were there in Chicago, and Ben Rhodes caught a huge break, finishing second at Pocono in the summer, while Ryan Truex, the counterpart, finished right behind him. And it came down to just that, via the tiebreaker, go back to Pocono, and Ben Rhodes is moving on in to drive for a championship, while Ryan Truex will race for pride. And that 16 truck has been red hot throughout the summer and into the fall. Just heartbreaking for the other Truex. Ryan Truex there put up a heck of a battle there throughout the night, and wish would have been ended better, but he gave it all he had. It's all you can do at sometimes in situations like that. It comes down to just one little position throughout the regular season that could make or break your season, and with these two trucks, it did. Ben Rhodes could have, going back to regular season, I keep referencing Kansas City, where Ben Rhodes could have won to enter himself into the chase. If not for a crazy debris hitting the front grill late, he would have beat Kyle Busch. But it came down to just that, crazy how racing works nowadays, that the society of racing that we're in. We're listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. just amazing that it just comes down to one position on a racetrack. Johnny Sauter won the race, but all that matters now, got to turn the page over to the postseason where the trucks will begin their quest for the championship. Obviously, with a field of 8 contestants in this field, you're going to have 2 eliminated following each of the 3 rounds. There are 3 rounds for both the Xfinity and the Capable Truck Series, I believe, because of the field is smaller than the Monster Energy Cup Series. Obviously, with 16, you have the trucks with 8 and then Xfinity with 12. So you're going to have 3 rounds with these guys. Same thing with the Cup Series, but just a field is smaller and the margin is little for error for Ben Rhodes. Even though he gained, he was 8th and he gained a couple of spots, so, but he's still tied originally for the 6th spot. We take a look at the rest of those playoff drivers. Christopher Bell for Kyle Busch Motorsports. Bell, who was in the Final 4 last year, struggled, but this year he's been on a tear this season with his 4 wins, top 10 top 5s, 14 top 10 finishes, and has 3 poles going into the playoffs. Johnny Sauter is 2nd, well, obviously, with his huge win at Chicagoland, or he won earlier this year at Dover as well. Sauter is, the defending champ of the trucks. He'll look to repeat, but that's going to be a tall order, especially with the speed of the 4 trucks been showing all year. But, hey, as Johnny kind of mentioned, we can't count him out, obviously, for what he did last year. Don't forget, he won 2 of the 3 races in the round of 6 to get himself into the Final 4 at Homestead, where he did not win the race there. William Byron did. Sauter ended up finishing up in the top 5 somewhere. I can't remember where it was, but it was enough for him to capture the championship. It could come down to winning the race this year. Again, going back to the speed factor of Bell, Matt Crafton, the old veteran, along with Johnny Sauter, with his lone and only win at Eldora this year, he is the 3rd seed going in. John Hunter Nemechek, 2 wins this season, is tied with Matt Crafton going into the playoffs. And remember, John Hunter Nemechek last year entered the playoffs, had a good race finish, and had a penalty, which we're going to get into more with the Cup Series. A driver that had an impressive run, but all for naught in Chicagoland. Chase Briscoe without a victory. He and Ben Rhodes. Briscoe's the 5th seed. Ben Rhodes is the 6th seed, obviously with a couple of stage wins. Austin Cindric. Both Brad Keselowski trucks are in the field to Kyle Busch's 1 truck. So, Brad Keselowski has an opportunity to have his truck team go out on top as champions. Remember, Brad Keselowski Racing, for those of you who don't know, shutting down the truck operations following Homestead in pursuit of probably going cup racing. We don't know that yet, but we do know that team is shutting down its doors with pretty much a couple of good drivers. Chase Briscoe's been on the cusp of winning a truck race this year. Maybe he'll come in the playoffs. Who will know? And Austin Cindric, a road course, isn't on in the playoffs, but he's been one of the red hot drivers this summer. It's been impressive, and that's been also, you got to go back to the dump and run win for Austin Cindric on Kaz Grala. Speaking of Kaz Grala, he is the final seed in the postseason with his season opening win at Daytona. Grala is going to have to be a lot better if he's going to transfer on in these playoffs. Remember, at the end of these 3 races, the last 2 drivers will be eliminated in the point differential between Bell and Grala, 35. So again, if you win a stage, it's going to carry over. And if you win a race, also those points along with the regular season points that you earn will carry you over. So that's, again, I go back to a few weeks ago that I was thinking about how the playoff points work. Well, seemingly that the regular season points and whatever you earn throughout the playoff run, you can basically carry all that weight, all that positive weight, if you will, all the way to Homestead. And I will make a prediction, actually, right on the spot here on the EG3 show, right here on KC Sports Radio. You're listening to it right here this afternoon, previewing Camper World Truck Series action, falling and exciting into the regular season. But all in all, when you look at the points, yes, Bell is going to be the favorite. Both these drivers, Bell and Sauer, were in the Final Four 1 year ago. And again, you're going to have to, a lot can happen throughout a race. So we see some crazy things happen over the years. Can Ben Rhodes make a run? Can a 19 truck get after a little bit? And so forth. So it's going to be definitely interesting to see what happens as we go on. But yes, I might actually save this for another mini podcast I have been doing on my own SoundCloud page that I've been doing. That you guys have been listening to 3 Minutes with EG3 show. That's where I'll be doing it on there as well. So you might want to go on my page, check that out as well. So there is that as well. But yeah, you got Bell, Sauer, Crafton. And then you could get a surprise. I will say this though. My sleeper pick, it has to probably actually go back to top of the show, really. And this 27 truck in Ben Rhodes is going to be a sleeper pick. It's going to be my sleeper pick. I mean, we know about Chase Briscoe coming close to winning, but Ben Rhodes, he has the hunger as well. And like I said earlier, he's going to have to bring out the best stuff if he's going to have a chance at moving on to each round. So I think 27 is going to make a little run here after barely getting in. Even after all that said and done, I think that this 27 truck, I think, can make some noise. Obviously, he has his teammate in Matt Crafton as well to lean on a champ. But I think he can go, because with the 19 and the 33 truck, it's going to be interesting. Cash Grawl is going to have to step up his performance a little bit. Austin Cindric's first playoff run, along with Cash Grawl and Chase Briscoe as well, we know what he can do. I honestly think that Ben Rhodes can make a run for it. Jonathan Nemechek, all year long, has been feast or famine. He wins, and next time you know it, he runs well but has issues late. And then you have your veterans up there as well. Christopher Bell has been on a magical tear throughout 2017. So anything can happen in these playoffs, yes, indeed. But with these trucks going in this first round, in the first couple of races, it is going to be very interesting. The playoff opener for the trucks on Saturday afternoon, the UNOH 200, going to go down this weekend. I'll get the times towards the end of today's show. Actually, I'm going to go back just a bit, see if it's on here. It is not, actually. So I'm going to have to go to the other page. But yes, it's down to 8 with the Camping World Truck Series. As I run down to my notes here real quick. Yes, the UNOH 175, my bad on that, coverage on FS1 beginning at 12:30 Eastern Time. That's going to be 11:30 Central Time in the listening states of Missouri, Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma. Again, I stand corrected. The UNOH 175. Saturday, the playoff opener for the Camping World Truck Series. You listen to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. We switch gears over to the Xfinity Series, where they wrapped up their regular season at Chicagoland as well. A triple header that happened last week with all three series this weekend. two of the series are in New Hampshire, the other in Kentucky. And Justin Allgaier, with a bold restart, won the regular season finale and padded on his playoff total in wins going into the postseason. Elliot Seiler is your regular season champion of the Xfinity Series, and it's been amazing to think that still the one car of Elliot Seiler has not won a race this year. That's incredible. And also another feat, Junior Motorsports accomplished all four drivers, like I talked about last week on a podcast. They are all the organization, Dale Earnhardt Jr., that runs Junior Motorsports, obviously. All four cars were in the postseason, kind of like Brad Keselowski's two trucks. All Junior's cars in the Xfinity Series made it in to the postseason. Dakota Armstrong will be outside looking in for the rest of the season. And also, Brendan Gaughan also got the final playoff spot. But yes, but William Byron, though, after all that said and done, Seiler winning the regular season champion. Unlike Truex, though, won the most playoff points and won the regular season champion. That did not happen with Seiler. He's only got half that equation. William Byron with the most playoff points and the three wins over the summer get the number one seed going into the Bluegrass State. Three wins for Mr. Byron this year. Mr. Liberty, like I like to call him on the pod. Eight top fives, 17 top tens, and obviously William Byron next season will be in the number 24 car for Rick Hendrick Motorsports. So the rise, the young buck continuing to rise quickly. He has been impressive this season once again. And remember, William Byron last year was not a part of the championship for in the truck series. He's definitely going to have a chip. If it's not already on his shoulder, it's going to be a chip. It's going to be there. He should have been there last year. And it, again, goes back to the whole Truex rule, Martin Truex Jr. rule, mini rule, that, you know, with all the playoff points, if these playoff points would have been insulated a year earlier, we could have seen Truex in the Final Four and William Byron in the Final Four as well. In the trucks, though, but it didn't happen thanks to engine failures for both Byron and Truex. And considering that both drivers, they've been on top of their game this year, William Byron will have a chip on his shoulder for sure, and he'll have a very good opportunity to do that here in the opening race of the playoffs in the Xfinity Series. Here with the Xfinity Series drivers, for those of you who don't know, 12 drivers enter in the same thing, relates to the Cup Series. The last four drivers will be eliminated after the third race of each round. So, I don't have the charts on me at the today, but you can do more research on these NASCAR websites like MRN.com, NASCAR.com to find out more information on the brackets and where that elimination race lies. But Justin Allgaier is a second seed with his two wins this year. 7 top 5s, 13 top 10s, and a pole. Elliott Seiler has been Mr. Consistency throughout the year, and he has been the main cog when you talk about championships, being part of the championship for Elliott Seiler, third seed, 11 top 5s, 19 top 10 finishes, and a pole. And maybe Elliott Seiler will get a win in the playoffs. Who knows, but definitely you're going to have to win the championship. You're going to have to win the race to win the championship, given the fact that you don't have to deal with Cup guys, which is very good. We're definitely going to see some exciting racing there, like that as well. You don't have to worry about Cup guys affecting the finishes of these playoff races. So, Elliott Seiler, the last really 3 or 4 seasons in the Xfinity Series, he's been awfully close to getting a championship. Hasn't gotten it done yet. And Seiler finished run. He's finished runner-up at least 3 times, if I'm not mistaken. So Seiler, he talked during media days about grabbing the elusive championship. Well, this might be the golden opportunity. Again, it goes back to what I said on the pod a few weeks back about Seiler, that this could be his best opportunity to win a championship. When we look at this field, I mean, yes, this is the Xfinity field that we're talking about. You're looking at Matt Tiff, Jeremy Kmetz, a Cinderella this year. Blake Koch was a Cinderella last year with his run. Kmetz is a Cinderella story in this postseason for this year. Cole Custer has been right up there as well with the Junior Motorsports guys in the RCR camp. Annette gone. Ryan Reed, Brendan Poole, Daniel Hemric, those guys. I see Elliott Sadler. If anything would go goes wrong, I think and yes, you have that fact that Junior Motorsports could have all four drivers in the championship four. That's not going to happen. Michael Annette, you know, he's shown some good speed this year, but he hasn't been consistent like Byron Allgaier and Sadler. So when you look at it, you could very well see three Junior Motorsports cars in the final four at Homestead was all said and done, and Allgaier was a part of it last year, and we all counted out Justin Allgaier, but he came out firing all cylinders and nearly won a championship. So you can't count out these guys yet. And if I did have a car to compete with Junior Motorsports, kind of a prediction here, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the EG3 show, by the way, right here on KCSportsRadio.com. We'll take a timeout in a few minutes, changing up a bit. We'll have Behind the Wheel after the second segment this afternoon instead of the first. If I had a car that was able to keep up with the Junior Motorsports cars in the Final Four, and it might be foreshadowing my prediction of the Final Four in the Xfinity Series this year, I gotta say, it's between Cole Custer and Daniel Hemric. Hemric's been coming on in the second half of the season. Cole Custer has been running consistently in the top 10 with these guys. It's really close. I really like Daniel Hemric coming up from the Truck Series, coming up from Brad Keselowski Racing, and has done a great job. He's the fourth seed, by the way. Five top fives, 12 top 10s, and has a pole. Cole Custer down here in the bottom of the grid, but he's a ninth seed. Four top fives, 13 top tens. I got to go with Cole Custer by inches over Hemric. He could be the guy that could really play spoiler, and he too could have been in the playoffs in the Truck Series last year if not for a dueling battle on the grass in Canada with John Nemechek. But Cole Custer, this year, we've seen him in the top 10 consistently all year long. He was leading at Chicagoland as well, so I really like where this is going. The momentum they've carried, along with Daniel Hemric as well, but the key for these guys, they're going to have to stay out of trouble if they're going to make advance to each round. And I'm going to go with Cole Custer by a nose to make it to the Final Four to compete with the Junior Motorsports threesome that they got. I mean, no offense to Michael Annette, but I'm telling the truth. But I'm just being honest here. Annette, he's, you know, got that good top five finish at in Wisconsin. But in these playoffs, you have to. We saw it in the Cup Series last weekend. You can't be making mistakes and still try to advance. You got to be nearly basically mistake free. There's no halfway in, halfway out, all this messing around. You have to be nearly perfect. This is another step for these guys to learn. Even though they're a step below the Cup guys, this is one way of learning to know how to race in these tight, you know, pressure packed situations. Blake Koch made a magical run and nearly made it to the Final Four last year. It'll be interesting to see what that experience and how he does. This is Jeremy Kmetz's first time in the postseason, thanks to an upset victory in Wisconsin in that same race. So Kmetz, I'm going to be interested to see what he does going forward. He has the 5 bonus points, playoff points for the win up there, so that's going to be huge. Ryan Reed is in that clan as well, and yeah, Brendan Poole hasn't won a race yet in his career. Goes back to Talladega last year. We all thought that he snuck a win by there, couldn't do it. But Brendan Poole also, he's behind Hemric, so don't forget about those guys. Ryan Reed won a race this season as well. So they got the 5 points to show for it going forward. I mean, interesting to see what happens there. And you know, Michael Annette, by the way, has that 1 point. This point set point differential between Byron and the last driver in the playoff picture, Annette, only 24 points. That's really tight. And a mistake early could cost you. So, you know, we know Junior Motorsports got the speed. We'll see if they know how to execute. RCR with Daniel Hemric, Stuart Haas with Custer. Then you have, go back to the RCR. Excuse me, I left that Brennan Gaughan out there. And you have Leaf Filter Racing there with Blake Cook, who was on our podcast this year, making the cut. And don't let's not forget about Joe Gibbs Racing, the defending Xfinity Series champions. Matt Tiff, who took over the ride of Daniel Suarez, who won the Xfinity Championship last year at Homestead, winning the race, winning the championship. What a celebration that was, being the first foreigner to do it in all of NASCAR history to win a championship in this platform. But it's safe to say we're going to have a new champion here this season in November. It's a matter of who. But we have the two guys returning from that Final Four last year. It was Suarez, Eric Jones, Allgaier, and Sattler. We have both Sattler and Allgaier back in the playoff field. So it'll be definitely going to be interesting to see. Very excited to see the playoffs and how it's going to shake out for both the trucks in the Xfinity Series. But definitely Xfinity Series will be interesting. We'll see what Matt Tiff does as well. Matt Tiff, he's been running strong as well as of late as well. Going into the postseason, Kentucky, 2 top 5s, 7 top 10s. Blake Cook, no top 5s yet, 4 top 10s. Jeremy Clements, his win, top 5 and 2 top 10s. Ryan Reed, a win this year at Daytona, the season opener, 2 top 5s, 5 top 10s. And Brendan Poole, the forgotten one, 1 top 5 this year and 12 top 10. So is a lot of variety in this field. We'll see who strikes first in Kentucky Saturday night. To visit MyrtleBeach.com 300 at Kentucky Speedway going down. And don't see the time on here, but anyways, on television, NBC, SN will have coverage of this race, and PRN will have the opener on the radio. So MRN will be at New Hampshire. Meanwhile, the Xfinity Series will have PRN. And look at the time right now. I just pulled it up as well. There is no time on here. So definitely might want to stay tuned for times on the website as well, if you're interested in catching this race as well. So definitely, usually at the times on, I'm looking at the MRN website for those of you who are wondering. So definitely, times aren't on there as well. And while I'm thinking about it, looking at the schedule, the playoff schedule for the Xfinity Series, the first cutoff race for them will be at Charlotte, and then the final one will be at Phoenix to decide the 4 drivers racing at Homestead. And let's not forget the rules for those of you who've been tuning in for the very first time, who've been out of the loop for a while. A win and you get free immunity, basically. If you don't get penalized in post-tech, you will move on to the next round. So you win, you're in. And even if you don't win, you have a chance to point your way in as well, at least 1 spot available to move on throughout these rounds, including after Phoenix. The most winners in a round you get is 3 at best, and that extra one, that 4th spot, could be on points, could be very likely be on points as well. And Elliott Sadler will look to finally get that elusive Xfinity Series championship that he's been searching for in the last 4 seasons. It's been incredible to the type of driver that he is and how close he has come to grabbing it. He hasn't done it yet. Well, maybe this year's the year, but he's going to have to go through possibly his own teammates to do it. The EG3 show rolls on after our first time out here on KCSportsRadio.com. EG3 show rolls on. We'll come back. Ooh, I will finally talk about last week's playoff opener in the Cup Series. We return on the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. We'll be back on the other side of this break. EG3 show rolls along right here on KCSportsRadio.com. I'm your host, Eddie Greer, for the EG3 show, the latest in the world of NASCAR. We are all officially in the postseason. In the social media update real quick, EG3 show is on Facebook, facebook.com/EG3show, and Twitter handle at the EG3 show. Check out what's going on with the EG3 show this weekend as the playoffs get underway in the Camping World Truck Series and Xfinity Series, and we enter into round two of the round of 16 in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Round one, chapter one, is in the books after last weekend in Chicagoland. Some big storylines coming out of this one, and a familiar face, the mile and a half king this season, and really, in my opinion, the last few seasons, Martin Truex Jr. rallies from behind again, like he did last year, to win at Chicagoland, double the Ninja Power indeed, folks. And he's been so strong on mile and a half this year. Why not? And we have four more mile and a halves to go to in the playoffs. And not only that, adds on to a whopping total in the playoff points. Even though MTJ didn't win a stage, he won what it didn't matter the most, the race. And yes, like almost like he didn't really need to win anyways. Like I've been talking to a couple buddies of mine, and you know, he doesn't necessarily have to win. He just got to be a top 5, top 10 every single week and stay out of trouble, which he didn't do. Well, it wasn't really his fault, but if he's clean throughout the way here, which, you know, anything can happen, like I've been talking about in these playoffs, but Martin Truex Jr. taking his own control of his destiny, not relying on the season success, goes out there and pretty much dominates the last stage of the race. When you look at Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott winning stage 1 and 2. Oh, and oh, by the way, I have more commentary on those two drivers here momentarily. Truex, the run, the comeback from behind. First, he sped on the entry, on the very end on pit road. Not the entry, very end on pit road. Had to come back through, and then after one of the stages, I believe it was after stage 1, the crew left off a lug nut, had to come back in, start tailing the longest line. In that second stage, I think, in my opinion, which is going to be my three wide moment of the race. 3 wide with each E3 moment comes with, I believe, stage 2. Martin Truex Jr. was rolling on them boys with the long run car. Obviously, it's no surprise really. I'm just astonished what this team is out here. I've been saying it all year long. They're out here on a mission to get back to Homestead, and this is a good start to doing just that. You know, not playing it safe, going out here and basically taking control of your own destiny. Going out here and winning the first race in Chicagoland, and all purposes should have 3 consecutive wins, to be quite honest with you, after the also close going back to back in the Southern 500, and then to get a phantom caution at Richmond, which was bogus caution. Still can't really get over that. So, and then I was actually pacing back and forth, waiting on that late caution to come out, but it thankfully it did not. I sure as heck thought it was going to come out, but it didn't, and my dude gets it done once again. And he retakes the lead and wins this year with 5, and is the first driver locked in securely, stone cold locked in to round of 12 coming up in a couple of weeks after Dover. Wow, this is impressive. Truex leading 77 laps en route, and we're going to hear from Truex. It's part of a special behind the wheel special here coming up in a little bit. But backing up to Kyle Busch, winning stage 1, and I thought for sure he was going to stick up the joint domination, quote unquote Truex, but Kyle Busch and the decision to switch crew chiefs, which I do not understand as well. You know, Joe Gibbs Racing, they have great teams, obviously. Daniel Suarez didn't make it to the postseason, but for all purposes, the pit crew is better than anybody else, was to my surprise. So they make the switch to have Daniel Suarez's old crew go over to Kyle Busch's, have them swap pretty much, and they make a mistake. Not one mistake, but 2 costly mistakes. And I just don't agree with the switching of the pit crews. If you wanted to do that, you should have did that in either with 5 races to go or in the middle of the season, of the regular season, in my opinion. Don't switch it when you're basically in a critical time, most intense time of this year, the playoffs, when you're trying to win a championship. And Kyle Busch has been definitely, his name has been thrown around as a definite favorite to get the Homestead for a second championship, but the pit crew screwed it up, and I think management screwed it up big time. I honestly thought, you know, with the way Kyle's old guys been going, they've been together for like last three and a half years, to make the switches doesn't really make that much sense to me at all, and it cost Kyle Busch big time. Had a car, one of the top cars to beat, if not the fastest car in this field, but turns out it goes back to what I've been saying throughout the podcast today about the Xfinity Series and the Kimmerer Truck Series. You can't make mistakes. You have to be doggone near perfect if you're going to advance in these rounds. It doesn't matter if you have the fastest truck, car, or not. That's a proven point. Kyle Busch, big time mistake with switching to crew chiefs. It doesn't just make sense. And it'll be interesting to see how they respond here at New Hampshire here this weekend, beginning on Friday with practice qualifying, and then in the race on Sunday afternoon. Whew, I mean, Adam Stevens put a lot of trust in these guys. I'm going to call it Dan Suarez guys, because this is what their team, this is what crew was there on throughout the season, you know, being high on the radar. But when the stakes are most high, you come up on a short end. Can't afford to do that. And I know you got the playoff points to do that, but if these mistakes are in round 12, that's going to be costly. And speaking of mistakes, Chase Elliott, like last year, coming out like gangbusters, had a speed in his first race, was up in the top 5 for majority of the day, comes home in the runoff spot, just like last year, coming out with speed, but unlike last year, this week, hit with the penalty, costly penalty. Either way, you look like, you can't say it doesn't hurt. It does hurt, because it takes away a stage win and basically your runt finish is thrown in a trash can, pretty much. You'll see the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. Eddie Greer in the house for the EG3 show. Costly penalty for messing around with the back of the car, the rear spoiler and the front right rear of the car, front end of the car was messed with as well. And then it was on top of that, there was video showing one of the crew guys for the 24 course messing around with the deck lid on the backstretch. We live in a society now that we rely on our phones that, you know, whether we need it for GPS or we want to take pictures with them. And there's video everywhere. People are going to catch that nowadays. And it was caught on fire early in the week. And NASCAR, instead of making the penalty on Wednesday, which was yesterday, they made the penalty announcement on Tuesday. I didn't find this out until I got home late on Tuesday night. And it is kind of a shocking penalty, if you ask me. And now you take away the points. And even that, if Chase Elliott were to move on to the next round, you don't have that stage point. Chase Elliott, he has won a stage this year, but he doesn't get to carry that other stage point, which was stage two at Chicagoland last week. Those guys at NBC talking about, you know, this penalty wasn't really a big deal. Well, I'm sorry, it is a big deal. Whether it's a 50-point penalty or a 15-point penalty, 25-point penalty, whatnot, it is a costly penalty because it takes away all that credibility. You got to start over pretty much. And lucky for him, at the moment, he's in transfer position. But if he has a bad race here this weekend, or even next weekend at that, don't run good the next 2 weeks, then he could be in trouble. So everybody's talking about ain't a big deal right now, but let's look at the negative. If he don't come out and back it up, back that speed up, he could be in trouble. So the 42, not the 42, the 24 of Chase Elliott, that's a costly penalty. 15 points, and he will not have Alan Gustafson or his car chief there at New Hampshire starting tomorrow. It's a one-race suspension, luckily, for Elliott and them boys there. They caught a huge break right there. It could have been a lot worse than what it actually was. Another story coming out of here, Kevin Harvick, the 2014 champ, making some noise as well. He comes out of the box pretty strong and has a plan going into these playoffs as well, trying to get the speed. We saw the four up front, and he finished in the third spot. Yeah, Denny Hamlin finished fourth. Kyle Larson, a quiet fifth. Brad Keselowski making plenty of noise off the track, finished sixth. Joey Logano, seventh, the only non-chaser up in there, lead the non-chasers. Joey Logano making a good run up there in seventh. Jimmy Johnson, for the second consecutive week, finishes eighth, but in all honesty, didn't really show the speed. He was sitting there outside really around 11th and 12th throughout most of the afternoon, made his moves late to finish in the top 10, but still not seeing the strength there. We'll see going into New Hampshire. Matt Kenseth finished ninth. Jimmy McMurray finished 10th. Other chasers, or I should say playoff contenders, Ryan Blaney, 11th, going down here. Kyle Busch, 15th. Austin Dillon, 16th. Kurt Busch was in the top 10 at one point, finished 19th after pit road mistakes, which was a theme of the weekend. And then going down here, Kasey Kahne, 21st. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. had the adventure of a day, 25th. That is not going to get it done for Stenhouse. And we talked about restricted plate tracks. They were so successful. this season, both of us wins coming at Daytona and Talladega. Well, he's going to have a lot of work to do if he's going to get into the next round. Right now, he is second driver outside the cut line with Kasey Kahne and Ryan Newman. The first is Kurt Busch via tie, but I think Kurt Busch would probably get the nod to move on. So again, going this weekend, we're going to be focusing on that cut line, which is so, so tight right now. So Ricky Stenhouse cannot afford any more mistakes. I mentioned him in the pod last week, he had to get better, and that's not getting any better. Making a mistake, hitting the wall, and then not being competitive. Casey Kane was also off as well. Those boys got a lot of work to do if they're going to get in. Austin Dillon got his work cut out for him as well. He don't want to be a victim of a tiebreaker again. And Kurt Busch, a surprise back there as well. So Kurt Busch, a promising top 10, turns out to not. And these pit road mistakes highlight the end of week one. They can't afford to be happening as we move in, especially as the field gets shorter and shorter. The mistakes are inexcusable at this rate. You're listening to EG3 Show right here on KCSports.com. So going into New Hampshire, the Magic Mile. The last time we were there in the playoff situation, Matt Kenseth ended up winning this race via, I believe it was on a strategy call made by Jason Ratcliffe and the guys. And that was the last time Matt Kenseth had been in the victory lane. He sure definitely used a win like he did last year to assure himself a spot in the next round. So Matt Kenseth is still hungry for that win. We didn't really see the 20 contending at a mile and a half. And this is really getting late in the season where you work and work and work to try to get a lot of speed. If you don't have it this time, I don't think you'll get it back until BM next year when the season starts over. But definitely, this is not time to be experimenting. You got to step up your game. And we saw a lot of mistakes, even with the 78 team as well. The 41 made mistakes. 18, 17, 3 sped on as well. So going into this week, a shorter race, and you don't have time to be making mistakes, especially with the amount of time you have. You have 300 laps to try to get to the front, and you can't be making mistakes. If you want to make a mistake, it has to be very early in the race. You can't really make it late in the race. You're not going to recover from it. Just ask Kyle Busch, the Busch Bros. Can't recover from the mistakes, and it cost them dearly. Well, more so Kurt Busch, the situation that he's in coming in to the playoffs with only that win, those 5 bonus points. Right now, he could use a lot more bonus points right now. EG3 Show rolls along. We're going to take our final break of the afternoon right here on KCSportsRadio.com. And on the other side of the break, we will go inside the 78 team and Martin Truex Jr. and how they conquered back-to-back wins at Chicagoland. And to open up, basically repeat what they did last year, overcome a mistake, and win at Chicago. Pretty impressive. And again, I feel like I'm a dead horse saying, repeat myself over and over while I'm trying to pull up the theme song for the break here. But yes, the 78 team, 5 wins this year. And they pretty much throw the gauntlet down of why they're going to be a tough out this year to get. There's no question about it, especially with all these points being racked up and could be getting some more here by weekend's end. EG3 Show rolls along next behind the wheel right here on JPEGSports.com, KCSportsRadio.com. We're going to be back. Other side of the break, behind the wheel, next.
one of 10 that will take us all the way to Homestead, Miami, and we will crown a champion. A
lot of pressure on these drivers, so it makes today's race different. This isn't just another race. They know this is the big race.
Green flag. It is in the air, and we are underway in Chicagoland. Kyle Busch gets a great jump on the drop of the green flag. He's going to lead Martin Truex through on the inside.
For us, really, the mindset all week was, you know, let's go into Chicago and do what we know how to do. You know, with the bonus points we have, with the way we've run all year long, if we just came in here and did what we know how to do best and just not let the pressure get to us, that we could have a great run.
Come on, pit this time. Three, two, one. Here we go, four tires.
Remember, we talked about don't make a mistake.
78, too fast on pit road, station 14.
In my head, I was like, oh, here we go again. This, you know, this happened to us last year here. Made the tire unravel, and we lost the lap. So then I was like, well, at least this year we didn't lose a lap. So that was good, and it made it a little bit easier. I think once we knew we were still on the lead lap, we were like, okay, we're still alive. We play it smart, and we pit right, and make the right adjustments the rest of the race, we can get back through there.
Coming down off turn number 4, Kyle Busch, with this one well in hand, comes across the start-finish line, claims the green and white checkered flag, and Martin Truex Jr. from the back of the pack back into the top 10.
All right, here we come. Looking left. 3, 2, 1. Here we go. 4 tires.
Making mistakes. They could kill you.
Martin, we got to come back here. We only got 3 on the river.
Remember that Martin Truex Jr. busted for being too fast on pit road, still on the lead lap just a moment ago. He was back on pit road to tighten the lug nuts.
Kind of had a miscue and left lugs off and had to come back. So all of a sudden, boom, we're at the tail end again. So it was right back to digging back through.
After that, we just start tailing the longest line. That's always difficult because you got to pass a bunch of lap cars before you even get to anyone. That's for a position, but our car got a lot better that run. You know, the track was changing. We were making our car better. It all just came together. Car really started to take off, and I knew being back in traffic like we were, and as fast as we were still able to go, and the lap times we were able to run in traffic were really good. So I knew we were in for a good day. Just had to be patient and just take care of the car coming up through the pack.
Green and white checkered flag in the air. Third stage win of 2017 goes to Chase Elliott in the Napa Auto Parts Chevrolet. Kevin Harvick finishes second. Martin Truex Jr. third.
Are you ready? Ready? Green, 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 green.
Martin Truex Jr. will complicate this good three-man battle for second.
You're pulling him. Clear.
It's different this year because of the bonus points, right? And there's still bonus points on the line. There's still stage wins on the line. I think everything we can do to get as many of those as we can is just a safety net to try to get to Homestead. We want to lead every lap. We want to win every stage. We want to win every race.
Clear. New leader, 78. Come on. Get yourself a nice little rhythm here.
The closer you get, the more nervous you get. We were actually pretty relaxed, as nervous as we were. So, you know, we were cutting jokes and keeping each other light. You know, the best thing you can do in those situations, just something I love about our team.
Rick Jones goes around. It looked like he may have had a tire go down.
Two roads open, this top goal, halfway down the bike.
That's where we're coming to.
Going to be Martin Truex Jr., the first off pit road. Kevin Harvick, Chase Elliott, Brad Keselowski, Kyle Larson, the top 5 on the exit.
Here they come, down to the line. Green flag is in the air. Martin Truex Jr. gets the jump, but he's not clear of Kevin Harvick.
Final restart, you know, I hadn't been up front really all day up until the end, and so I wasn't sure 100%. I kind of wanted to take the bottom, but I figured, you know, the restart before, I watched Harvick get the lead on the bottom for the 24 car. But I was giving a pretty good shove. I figured I'd just take the outside. And, you know, if I didn't get the lead there, I knew our car was good enough in the long run that I'd give it eventually. But it fired off really well, and I think we ran the fastest lap of the race on that restart.
On his way to victory lane for the 5th time in 2017, and he's on his way to the round of 12. Martin Truex Jr. wins.
Hell yeah, man. You know what time it is? Best time of your life.
Thank you.
This is
Cup Series. You need to win every week. I think as close as we've been, you know, looking back to the last month, being in contention to win, you know, as many races as we've been, is just, it's great to finally break through and, you know, get back on top.
I feel disgusting right now. I have slime in my underwear, in my socks, in my ears. I mean, there is everywhere.
EG3 show. Just a few more minutes on today's podcast, getting you ready for New Hampshire. Eddie Greer for the EG3 show. Just listen to Inside Winners Weekend. Martin Truex Jr., Cole Pearn, Furniture Racing 78. Incredible, man. It's just been a blast again this year watching this team continuing to take those necessary steps to try to get themselves back to Homestead. And again, on a mission, quote unquote, on a mission. That's what this team is all about. It's been fun to watch, and I'm looking forward to once again seeing what they can do. And we know what they did last year. They won the first state, they won the first playoff opener, and then they came back and went to win dominate Dover. So, if anything, that could be a sign of trouble. Also, kind of bouncing around a little bit, Kyle Larson, I thought he would mix it up a little bit as well. That kind of didn't happen, really. He kind of sat there between 5th and around 8th all afternoon long. So maybe Kyle Larson just biding his time a little, like he talked about earlier. But as we move along here, we'll see if they can rekindle a little bit more of that speed like they've been showing all year long with that race team. But we're going short track racing here, New Hampshire, for the next 2 weeks. And of course, Dover is the first elimination race next week. But focusing on this week, like I talked about in the last segment here, Matt Kenseth, this was the last time he went the victory lane last year in the post-race setting. Postseason setting by winning the race. Tony Stewart was second. Logano, hometown boy, third. Harvick, fourth. Greg Biffle on strategy was top five. Jimmy McMurray, Ryan Newman, Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. were the top 10 from last year's postseason race number 2. And now, here this weekend, obviously the last time we're at New Hampshire, Denny Hamlin won the race after wrecking his primary car in practice. You know, those things happen, but this week they're going to be magnified even more. Pit road mistakes, and we saw Kyle Busch, the common thing with him, shooting himself in the foot, can't do it. And along with the other 15 drivers in the postseason. And we'll see. This is a track where we could see some gambling. I believe we could see some gambling, a little bit of Hail Marys from some of these guys to get the best finish and possibly see one driver gamble to get to victory lane. That's kind of a little bit of my bold prediction this week for this weekend is we could very well see a gamble by any one of these teams that are looking to get a win. A win curls everything, and a win guarantees you that spot getting into the round of 12. It's going to be an interesting race this weekend. 300 laps on a magic mile. Hard to pass anyway, so definitely Friday, tomorrow, definitely. it's going to be interesting for sure. Definitely you want to qualify good on the pole. And this weekend, stay tuned with our times for this race. Obviously, it's going to be 2 Central Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Time for the Monster Energy Cup Series playoff race number 2. It's going to be probably just as exciting as the first one. Going to be a lot of strategy played, I can tell you that right now. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for the EG3 show this week here on KCSportsRadio.com, JPEG Sports Network. A lot information to talk about this week, but hey, we're going to New Hampshire next. I'm Eddie Greer saying thank you for tuning in to this week's edition of the EG3 show, and we'll do it again next week. Who will take New Hampshire to move on to the next round? You have been listening to the EG3 show right here on KCSportsRadio.com. We'll talk to you next week. See you on the other side of the checkered flag. We out.